Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyway, she goes to bed. I open up a box of Parmas. I light up. I pour myself a cognac. And I watch the 14 fists of McCluskey. What a picture.
Yo, homie, is that my briefcase?
And start asking the right fucking questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rum and Rant. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is, of course, the One Heat Minute Productions Patreon exclusive podcast. I do have to say thank you to all of the people who made this possible. This podcast is, of course, brought to you by specifically all of our amazing patrons on Patreon for One Heat Minute Productions. Thank you so much. And those of you who are going to get a shout out are my Macaulay tier. That's right, my ride or dies for the longest time. My little number two, Amanda Regent, James Adamo, David Fassel, obviously Stu Coote, Sean Burns, Garth Franklin. You've heard those guys on the show. Bilge Ibiri, Ben Hobden, Nate Small. You've heard Niall Schwartz on the show. Craig Matheson, John Plea Glynn, Ethan Warren, George Wishart, Jordan Harper, Kane Sherman, Andrew Parker, Mitchell Beaupre, Justin Shaw, Andreas Peterson, Pat, J.A., Ignacio Filios, Kate, Gabrielle, the Total Reboot Boys, thank you so much. Noah, Jatel, Peter Wells, Ben, David Grabinski, Shane, Andrew Lang, Devendra Hardawar, Gilbert Martinez, Daniel Ombre, Anthony J. Glover, Christopher Fitzpatrick, Christopher Kevranian, Jordan Trang, and Slow on the Draw. Thank you to my entire Macaulay tier, but really thank you to everyone. That was long, but I think it was needed. Now, thank you so much. Now that you're patrons, if you're listening to this, you must go and seek out the post where I put the Discord. I try and get our Discord up. Our Discord is simply the best thing that is going around. It is like one of our live show chats that just doesn't stop across a bunch of threads. Would love to see you guys in there and chat to you. I hope you guys are having an awesome week. This, of course, is our one episode every week on a Friday. It's coming a little bit later Australian time because I was trying to compile and excavate some great conversations from One Heat Minute Productions past that have never been heard before. I gave you a little snippet of a great chat with a great Donal Logue, who is, of course, an author, who's a screenwriter, who's a character actor of much note. I mean, obviously, he's dear to our hearts here on One Heat Media Productions because of his role in Zodiac, but, of course, Blade, Thin Red Line, Patriot, the list goes on. Reindeer Games. We have some cool stories here today. He talks about Leonardo DiCaprio, his career coming up with him. He talks about this crazy journey that is acting and his amount of time that he's been in the acting business now, like going on like 30 some odd years. But there was a really special section of our conversation that I haven't really released yet, which is us talking about him knowing Heath Ledger and his experience watching, as he called him, like a star on the rise or a supernova on the rise, basically. So I really want you guys to hear it. It's a terrific chat. Donal is just an amazing storyteller. I literally went to have an interview with him for, I don't know, an hour, maybe max. I thought 20 minutes. I was on there for like 3 hours. So there's lots of stuff that probably still is there that we could talk about and might pop up in future Rum and Rants. But this one is a kind of special one. It concludes with a talk on Heath and the Patriot and talks about his career, Leo. And we just shoot the shit. It's a great chat. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you guys are enjoying everything we're doing. For you guys who are listening now, this week, Manola Dargis is coming on Miami Nice. And then we have our incredible One Thief Minute James Caan tribute, which is going to be one episode, but I just simply do not think that it's going to fit. It may even be two episodes, and they'll be bangers, and they'll be massive. We have an incredible guest list. You'll see that up. I've basically concluded all of those and maybe one or two special people popping through, but please check that out, share it. And of course, if you haven't already, and I wouldn't expect that you guys would necessarily have always done this, but like share, rate, review, tell people that the Patreon's worth your cash, even if you're on the Macaulay tier or you're on the Cowboy tier, like whatever you guys want, jump into it. We've also got our Heat 2 book club miniseries coming out. Probably going to wait about a month, wait till everyone's had time to consume it and then deep dive on it. We've got guests coming up on there. Meg Gardner will be on the show, all these sorts of things. But now let's go to a chat with, again, the absolutely terrific storyteller that is Donal Logue. Hope you guys enjoy, and we'll catch you on another Rum and Rant very soon. But Sunday's episode of Miami Nice, and then next Wednesday, a One Thief Minute Part 1. And of course, Alexi and I'll be back for more physical media with the Blues Brothers coming up, and really big Collateral Miami Nice coming soon. Hope you guys check it out. All right. Here's Donal Logue.
Yeah, I'm so fortunate to have that kind of thing, right? So I went up to Canada in October of late September 1989 was my first, with Mike Newell was the director. He was the first guy to give me a break and Taft Hartley me into a project that this brilliant English director. And so, yeah, it's been 30. This is the 32nd year anniversary or something. I'm going back to Canada. I'm leaving here in a couple of days to drive back to Toronto. There's going to be a big winter storm, which is a bummer. So I'm worried about, I don't want to fly during COVID, but, and I like to drive to all my jobs because I record all the dialogue and then I listen to it. I spend a couple of days.
You do a Rick Dalton. You do a live Rick Dalton Hollywood.
When I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we can talk about, like for some reason, I can't leave that movie alone. My friend Greg Dooley and I said, it's like, if it's on, I will watch it from any part of it.
Yes.
And I will watch it. I don't know why I watch it all the time over and over again. And I've had my own, and this is when you talk about like why we'll never badmouth, why badmouth the movie, why badmouth anything. And I have this weird thing with Quentin Tarantino where I'm like, is it just taking 70s stuff and adding this kind of adult flavor to it? Or no, it's something different. He's a genius. Like I can't deny it. He makes these movies that are thrilling to watch. And, I don't know the guy. I met him briefly through Danny Trejo at this thing last year, and I've never worked with him, but my God, you know, Once Upon a Time, I also get emotional about the Leonardo and I were really good friends for a spell in the 90s. Around the same time as the David Blaine and Robert Downey Jr. stuff. And that was, I was kind of like this weird older guy. I was sober. So I had this, and it was so bizarre because I had started working and I was a little bit older, but then there were these up and comers like Leo DiCaprio. And at the time, Stephen Dorff, of course, too. And, I have these incredibly, I have these great feelings about that. That was the time when they were in Australia doing Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's thing. Yeah. And, but he, and it was funny back then because I did comedy stuff, and it a little bit like Eric Bana, you know, you start doing goofy comedy and then, yeah, like drama is pretty easy compared to that stuff, right? And then, but Leah would do comedy stuff just fucking around, and he's the funniest guy in the world, or he could dance and sing like Michael Jackson. And he was just, and I'm like, man, you should do this stuff. And he goes, I can't, you know, I can't really, well, which made sense because there was too much, in a way invested in him being what he is. The
yes.
Arguably.
But later on when he does The Wolf of Wall Street, that movie
that's
is.
That's him being him.
That's one of the funniest
movies. One of the funniest movies, like, the physical.
One of the funniest movie
getting
ever.
Getting in the friggin' Lambo, you know, or.
Just the dancing, and he's so meme. Like every part of his performance in that movie is a meme. Like it's like him like biting his knuckles, doing the like, I'm not fucking leaving. Like it's unbelievable. Oh, it's unbelievable.
They looked like they were just letting each other go for it. And, but I, you know, it's so strange because not strange, but I actually think that Leonardo DiCaprio has, to me, the most impressive career in cinema of any actor ever. And
yeah, it's he's gotten older, it's really almost hard to argue. You know,
and there was a time during The Aviator where I just wanted to cry because having known him and come up and joked around and all this kind of stuff, it, like to watch him mature to that place, to take that turn into something so intense and heavy, to watch that level of talent. And it's so great, you know, and of course, like Denzel, and I mean, there's a zillion of them, right? Pacino, of course, and De Niro. For me, like The Deer Hunter was the kind of, it's the starter kit for most young American actors, right? Like,
yeah.
And part of me gets my back up a little bit about the American actor thing where it's like, holy shit, man, we can't even do a Vietnam War flick or an American World War II drama where it's not four Irish guys, three Brits, two Australians, and maybe one effing American. Like, we're just, what's wrong? We were the dudes. You know, there was a time when it was John Savage and Chris Walken and Robert De Niro, and you know, the rest of the world was looking to us and John Cazale, you know.
Well, personally, I get frustrated with having to watch so many American movies where they make Australian actors do these bad accents, these generic accents. And I'm like, can't they just be Australian? Can't they just speak in their natural, well, and by the way, charming as fucking hell accent?
They will not cut us slack the other way. And I also think Australians, for some reason, have an amazing affinity. They're good with accents, maybe because they're from outside of.
There's something
about it that works. But you know, I know good actors who struggle with. I've seen amazing actors have a hard time just trying to sound kind of down the road American or whatever. And it's like taking six cylinders of a V8 away from an engine, right? You know?
Yeah.
And somehow everybody's like, it's cool with it, but it is kind of, you know, I would say even Eric Bana in a way, I think he probably had a hard time with the Hulk or something happened, but if you see Chopper,
yeah,
and you're like, holy shit, dude, Chopper.
If you see Chopper, but even watch him in Munich. We're just talking about Munich. Like we talked about Munich. Munich, he's
just insane. That was the first time I saw Daniel Craig, I think, in something. And he was just like wired tight. And I was going to say Chopper. But when we did Thin Red Line, there was a dude on it. There were a couple of Australian guys in Thin Red Line, one being Dan Wiley.
Yeah, Dan Wiley.
Dan Wiley's the funniest dude who's ever walked planet Earth. Dan Wiley, and Dan Wiley has this weird thing where he's missing his teeth and stuff where he can pull them out and do this. He does it. Dan Wiley makes me cry trying to just thinking about Dan Wiley, and he did a comedy. He did a comedy on, I'm trying to think of what it was, this Australian comedy, a television series where it's just these two guys sitting and talking about the craziest shit. I'll try and figure it out.
Are you thinking of No Activity?
That could be No Activity. Oh my God. It was so.
Because they've.
Yes.
He's been in a million. Dan Wiley
is
like.
He's the dude right over there.
He's our guy. Yeah. He's one of our guys. He's in. He's terrific because he's the kind of guy that when he turns up, you're never annoyed that he's turned up. You're like, this is good.
No, yeah, absolutely.
He's in.
Dude,
you're like, this is good.
I love Dan Wiley so much. It's been so many years since I've seen him. But that's another thing is when you bond on a thing like that, when you have that experience together, if I saw Dan right now, and he, I mean, the only reason to do what we do for a living is really this insane way that we get to hang and meet people in this crazy way and bond so quickly. I do know, you know, I did a couple of movies with Mel Gibson and we became buddies and we were like partners on this crazy Vim Vendors movie. And then we immediately thereafter did The Patriot together. And he was telling me about shooting, man, I'm just like a kid, man. I love hearing these Gallipoli stories. And, you know, and Mel told me when he was going to, what's the drama school in Sydney, the famous
NIDA,
right? That Cate Blanchett and all these, you know. And by the way, like Australians are insanely, like the amount of talent coming out of that island, I know, granted a big island, but it's sick how great people are down there. But he was in drama school and he was also kind of a gymnast. He's a natural athlete. And he goes, he was so fit. He came out of class one day and he got hit by a bus. And he goes, I swear to God, I did 3 somersaults through the air. I got full on smacked by a bus, did 3 somersaults, landed on my feet and was completely fine. You know? And I'm like, I love all of these weird stories. He got so sick the day they were racing to the pyramids in Gallipoli. He was so sick. That was another 103 Mark Ruffalo story.
Yes.
Or I should put it in terms of centigrade for Australia. you know what I'm saying? But I love Australia. I had a neighbor in Los Angeles who remains one of my great, great, great love friends of all time. This guy, Don Miller Robinson. He lives in Bronte Beach. He's from Canberra, or his mom lives in Canberra. And Dom was in that band Dragon. Do you remember
this
band Dragon?
Yes.
So Dom was a guitar player in Dragon for a while. He's an amazing guitar player. And he was buddies with every guitar player from Australia. And of course, all the guitar players visiting. And Don is just, he's like my North Star. And so through him, I just met so many incredible Australians. And in Los Angeles, there's this clique of Australians. You know, Australians like to clump together.
And
now
and they all sleep on each other's couches when they don't have anywhere to stay. That's what happens. It's absolutely. Like this. It's like the couch hotel thing. You always hear about it.
And there's a little bit of that tall poppy. I do think Australia and Ireland and places. I mean, it happens everywhere, right? Yeah. Like Irish people hate Irish Americans and they're dicks to fellow Irish people who do well, or Australians are super proud of Australians who do well, but they're also assholes. There's that constant demand, or are you still a real person kind of bullshit, you know?
Yes.
Which I think really effed up Heath Ledger. And I will say this was one of the craziest, most prescient things. We were doing The Patriot. So this was okay, it was say January 2000, and we had been on that movie for about 7 months, 8 months, and it was freezing. We were in these beautiful swamps outside of Charleston, South Carolina, and I remember just over the course of The Patriot, just on the strength of the dailies going back to Los Angeles, Heath Ledger was becoming kind of. You could see that this exploding star was born just on the bay. The movie wasn't out, but the talk was in, and Heath had all of his buddies from, Perth living out in South Carolina with him. And you could get that. And there was a lot of paparazzi and I think kind of English and Australian press, which is of the, what am I trying to say? Tabloidy variety.
Tabloid shit. Right? Yeah.
And it was kind of freaking, it was freaking him out. And we're sitting there I'm just a fly on the wall. I'm there. It's myself. It's Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger. And we're sitting on these logs facing a fire, just ready to do a scene. And Heath is very emotional about this. And Mel says, you know, if you don't get right with this shit, it will kill you. If you don't get right with this, because of course, after Mad Max.
Well, after Road Warrior, he was the biggest.
After Road Warrior, he was the biggest thing in the world, you know, man, Heath was a sweetheart and what a talent. And it's crazy because I loved Heath and we had a lot of laughs together. But what was crazy after The Patriot was watching how incredible an artist he was.
Yeah.
What a great actor and Brokeback Mountain. And of course, just so many. I mean, The Joker, but The Patriot was one of those old school kind of crazy. They don't make him anymore movies with thousands of reenactors. You know, there might be 200 of us on horseback jamming across fields. And Heath was an amazing horse rider. He was just incredible horseman. And, and at lunch we would go, Heath and I would go for runs on this farm, which was hilarious. And one day he says, like, I want to show you something. And it was, and I don't know, you know, of course, you know what South Park is, right?
Yeah.
So is it Matt Parker and Trey Stone?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So I ask for forgiveness because they're geniuses of next level. And I do remember doing a movie with Gary, I remember the morning on this movie called, Dear God, with Greg Kinnear that Gary Marshall directed, where Gary's son, Scott, showed me the little Christmas tape that was the first South Park thing.
Yes.
It was like VHS, right? So Heath one day said, I've got to show you this thing. So myself, this guy, Kirk Fox, and Heath, we sat in his trailer and we watched Cannibal the musical, which was
sublime.
Heath was so stoked to turn us on to Cannibal the musical. Those are little factoids that you might not find everywhere, you know. But Heath was, when I saw him on Chapel Street, I was doing Ghost Rider.
Yeah,
we did that in Melbourne.
Yeah,
and he was going. I was walking down towards the Como Hotel where I was staying, and he was going to visit Wes Bentley, who's one of his best friends.
Yeah.
And he was with Michelle Williams, who was pregnant at the time with their kid and sweetheart. But yeah, Heath is just awesome. Not yet away. I'll raise the flame. Just gonna die.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double,
triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.